go to everydaynovelist.com/support to join the madness.
Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer, author of nearly 30 books, more than 30 short stories, and numerous articles and scripts and essays, coming to you from up in the crow's nest with my spyglass on this daily voyage through the dicey waters of business, craft, learning, and art in the writing life.
Welcome to The Questions, episode 781. Today we hear from Jessica, who asks,
I'm interested in your take on the notion that indies must now pay to play. I find that possibility oppressive, but fear it may be true. Well, let me tell you a bit about my experience to show some of the grounds for my fear. I first published in December 2011, one novelette and one novel. Over the next 15 months, I published an additional 8 titles, one novel, 2 novellas, one novelette, and 4 short stories. During that time, I sold very little, around 50 books total. It was clear that I was selling mostly to a handful of family and friends. I would tell them when I released a new title, 3 or 4 would buy a copy, and that would be it. Then, in April 2013, I did a Goodreads giveaway. That seemed to really change things. All of a sudden, I was selling 10 to 15 books a month to complete strangers. I even received a few reviews, most of them very positive. I hoped to build my audience from this first small snowball. I continued to sell 10 to 15 books per month through 2014 and 2015 organically. I couldn't get deal sites to give my books a spot because I didn't have enough reviews. Most deal sites require 8 to 10 reviews or more for a book. My books had 1 to 5 reviews each, at most, so I was selling without advertising. In 2016, my sales diminished to 8 to 10 books per month. In 2017, I made a real effort with BookBub ads and Amazon ads. The BookBub ads were very hit or miss, some complete duds, others pushing perhaps 50 copies, but they were always negative ROI by a significant amount. Most of the time, I couldn't get Amazon to give impressions for my Amazon ads. Impressions are driven in part by algorithms, and the algorithms didn't like my ads. Eventually, I did get a few of my ads to show on the site. They would sell perhaps 6 books a month, but like the BookBub ads, they were ROI negative. Not hugely negative, but I was losing $10 a month, and the ads would diminish in effectiveness over several months. By 2018, my organic sales were down to 4 to 5 books per month. In 2019, it was worse, 2 to 3 sales per month if I did no ads. Currently, I'm regrouping. It feels as though I must advertise if I want to sell any books, but I know that a persistently negative ROI is not sustainable. Do I just put my head down and write, ignoring the fact that I no longer sell organically? Do I trust that eventually my potential audience will find my books? I currently have 6 novels, 6 novellas, 2 novelettes, 6 shorts, and 2 collections out. I'm not a speedy writer, so it will likely take me another 10 years before I reach the 20-novel mark that supposedly gives a writer a chance at being discovered by her writers. I'll keep writing because I love it, because this is what I want to do with my life. But I'd like to think I have a chance at connecting with an audience of readers sometime before 2030. So, what do you think? Pay to play? Or is there hope apart from that?
Well, Jessica, this has been on my mind a lot lately, because there's many senses in which I'm in the same boat. What has happened, I think, is that when the market opened up, the players in the market had a vested interest in giving all of us indies the benefit of their apparatus for free. For example, in Amazon's case, pushing the indies over the traditional published books was very, very useful to them because they had a much better profit margin on the indie books and because it gave them a lot of negotiating leverage when it came to price points and placement with the traditional published books. We were the beneficiaries of a giant corporate civil war. We are war profiteers, so to speak, and also ammunition. That time is done. It was historically anomalous. And so for what it takes to get noticed and to find an audience, I've come to the conclusion that we have to actually look backwards and make some analogies and do some creative thinking. Backwards, I mean to the last time that there were a lot of independently published books in a hostile marketplace dealing with a few key players. And that would have been the pulp boom of the 1960s before the distribution crisis. People that figured out how to work that system did really, really well. People who didn't figure out how to work that system kind of sank without a trace. And there were a lot of cracks in that system, a lot of places to lever in. When you look at our current system, it's tempting to sit back on your heels and go, wait a minute, there's no way in. There's one or two corporate players, and that's it. So we have to pay for shelf space, essentially. Which would analogically put us in the situation of anyone who does business in the grocery world. Everything you see in a grocery store that's on a shelf is on a shelf because the manufacturer paid for placement. Or did some really, really good sweet talking with the distributors and acquisitions people. Of course, the distributors and acquisitions people at places like Amazon don't exist. It's all done by computers, so you can't sweet-talk your way in. So that brings us back to, we have to pay for shelf space. And the answer, I think, is maybe. As you've discovered, if you can get your ads right, you can get a steady trickle of sales. Now, whether those are going to be ROI positive or negative is actually going to depend on what the ad buying environment is like at the time. Right now is a terrible time to advertise anything because digital ad rates are at a multi-year high because presidential candidate Mike Bloomberg is dumping millions and millions of dollars into the digital ad market, and all digital ads sell on auction. Digital ad rates, for that reason, are always higher during election years anyway. So basically, since last May, ad rates have been off the charts expensive, and they're more expensive now since Bloomberg got into the race. They will come down again. They go up, they go down, depending on who's in the market, who's not. After the election, there's going to be a big financial void in the ad market. And that might be the time to get in if you're looking at Facebook ads or YouTube ads or Google AdWords or Amazon ads and that kind of thing. Not quite sure how it works on Goodreads. I haven't looked at that in any kind of depth yet. But I also suspect that pay-to-play is not the only way that this can be done. There is such a thing as guerrilla marketing, and it was developed in an environment where big players dominated the market, and there are books on the subject. The term guerrilla marketing, I think, is actually trademarked. That's where I'm currently turning my eyes. The new tools that have come in, of course, are stuff like SEO and digital advertising and newsletters, and by that I mean digital newsletters, and audience curation and communities, which I talked a little about a few episodes back. But in addition to that, there's all sorts of guerrilla marketing techniques which have varying levels of success depending largely on the kinds of fans that you have or that you will naturally attract, what the environment is like at the time, and how gregarious you are. If you're very gregarious, then you will have more success with some things than other things, and if you're not, then that'll close off a bunch of things to you. Timing also has an impact. The cultural moment for your books may not be here yet. It may have passed for a while. Or it might be here, but you haven't found your people. If it's here and you haven't found your people, that's when marketing is really good and really important. If the cultural moment is not here yet, or it came and went 20 or 30 years ago, and you just gotta wait for it to come around again, then building up inventory and waiting for the right cultural moment is a wiser idea. But of course, in that situation, you need to have some idea of how to spot when the cultural moment is coming. And that is its own art form all by itself. So, I think that pay to play, which really honestly puts us in the same boat as every other business on the planet, is unfortunately here to stay. And just like with every other artisanal business on the planet, it's not necessarily the only game in town, but it may be the most direct. And finally, like every other business on the planet, it may not work. Depends on your product. Depends on the market timing. depends on what kind of placement you can get. All three of those things have to come together. So there is a, you know, like there always is in the arts, there's a certain amount of luck. But you have to be willing to play, or you can't win. And so the trick is to play as smart as possible. We're at a point in history where a lot of this kind of thing is going on, not just in our businesses, but across the world. Those of us who were born before 2008, really, were born into a world that was historically anomalous. And since 2008, that world has been falling apart. The longest period of peace and prosperity in human history that was made possible not just by a single imperial pax delivered by the American military, which created a common market across the world, more or less, but also by the fact that World War II killed so many people and destroyed so much industry that you had the ability to have decades and decades and decades of basically unrestrained economic growth in all sectors, in all countries that were industrializing or reindustrializing. That's base effect growth. Once you get past base effect growth into a mature market, the whole nature of the game changes. We are now past base effect growth in ebooks. We're back to a mature market. And a mature market takes a different way of looking at things than a market that's experiencing base effect growth. Which is not as encouraging as I was hoping it would be, but it does mean that there is a template that probably needs updating that you can go by to do this. And this is the part that I personally am investigating right now and starting to do experiments with. Because I've been out of the game for a few years and I lost all of the momentum that I had built up long before the bottom dropped out of the market, because personal stuff kept me away from playing the game properly. So I'm having to catch up and learn all over again. But like you, I went through a long dark night of the soul, especially a year and a half ago, despairing that this might ever be possible at all. And now I'm not. Now I'm pretty sure that this is possible. It's just that it looked like it was impossible because the ground had changed so much while I was away that I couldn't really see what the system was or how it was functioning. Now I'm starting to get an idea, so this episode is basically explicating that idea as best I can, and I hope it's helpful. Thank you very much for sending in the question, and I'll see you tomorrow.
The Everyday Novelist is written by J. Daniel Sawyer and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and Kitty McKeon, and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. The text is copyright 2019 J. Daniel Sawyer, and the production is copyright 2019 Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license, and all other rights are reserved to their respective owners.
Join the conversation. Submit a question, leave a comment, or a creative death threat. Or find me at jdsawyeronminds.com or hit me at feedback@jdsawyer.net. We can't do it without you.